Thank you, worship team. Here's been a good morning already in so many ways. I always love to have communion here together and be with you folks for that. And just appreciate all those also that are here for the newcomers luncheon today. We want to welcome all you that are newer here to the congregation. And also want to say thank you that he wasn't hurt. Tree's okay. There's just some kind of angel there was kind of moving off the platform after worship and praise. Knocked the tree. It's called the tree of death. Oh, sorry. I better stop while I'm ahead. Okay. I want to also remind Arthur Gregory here. He has a daughter named Zoe. And then we do have a certificate here in the front here. Cheryl's got that, so we make sure you get that from her before you leave the service today. And if you have your Bibles here this morning, always bring your Bibles to church if you have one. If you don't have one, go look at the lost and found box at the end of the service. There's plenty of Bibles there as well. But look in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, Genesis 24. And I'm going to be reading here in a moment, starting in verse 62. I'm on this series that's called Recovery. And I want to speak this morning here on the God of comebacks. I really believe that part of this recovery anointing that God has is in for a season right now today includes those that are going through a time perhaps where you've suffered some setbacks, you've suffered some defeats perhaps, you've suffered some things throughout the year. It might be in financial realms, it might be the realms of relationships, it might be your job, or it might be your own children as well, even your health. God is a God of comebacks. Amen. And all of us understand again that all human beings love to have comebacks take place also in their lives. Part of the paradigm shift that God wants to bring to the body of Christ also is for us to go to the realms where we're not just hearing God's voice and having God's voice coming to us, but God actually brings a shift to us to make us actually become a voice in the earth. God can change us so completely that our voice becomes His voice to a lost and dying world, to believers all around us. The Bible says we are those that minister life to life and death to death, and we do that mainly through our mouths. Our mouths can speak life, and our mouths can speak death, and God wants to make you into a voice. But those that are going through a time of defeat, a time of setbacks, and a time of valley experiences cannot be the voice that God wants them to be until they find themselves having a comeback take place in their lives. You know, I played tennis back when I was in high school and college years, just kind of playing around. I didn't take lessons or didn't play for a team. I just kind of played in a recreational type sense there and had a real love for the game. And so when Cheryl and I can do this, we'll try to watch the end of some matches that take place in the big matches like Wimbledon happening this week. And we saw this week here the very end of two major matches there with the women's championship person. Her name, new to me, is Sabine Lisicki. And Sabine Lisicki, first of all, she played in what's called the quarterfinals against the American, whose name is Sabrina Williams. And Sabrina was ranked me number one in the entire world. They thought she'd just wipe her all over the court, Lisicki, and beat her very, very badly. And sure enough, in the third set, here's Lisicki. She's down. She's from Germany, a young lady in her early 20s. She's down 3-0 to Sabrina Williams. Looks like the whole thing's wrapped up in a bag. She's going to beat her probably 6-1, 6-0, something like that. But somehow, someway, Lisicki goes down into her inner man, gets out all of her inspiration, all of her energy, all of her practice. It all kind of comes together, and she ends up beating Sabrina Williams in those quarterfinals and goes on to the semifinals. In the semifinals, she goes on there and plays the next woman, whose name was what again? In the semifinals. Can't remember the name. This is also a foreigner from Europe. Sleeky played her anyway. Anyway, she was also ranked to beat her. Her name was Radwanska. That's right. I like that name. She's Rad. Her name is Radwanska. And she also was ranked way above Saliki. And the same thing takes place again. They have first set takes place. I think Saliki wins that. Second set takes place. Radwanska wins that. Third set takes place. Radwanska's ahead 3-0. And it appears like once again, Lisicki is on the ropes, going to lose the match. And once again, she goes into her inner man, digs very, very deep. She comes back and wins that match and beats Serena Williams. She beats Radwanska and goes into the women's final yesterday morning. Well, unfortunately, again, she was so spent, she was so wiped out, I think emotionally, physically, she did lose the final yesterday morning to the woman whose name is Bartoli from Spain. But what I'm trying to say there again is all of us like to see underdogs like that on the ropes, but somehow God will show up even for you and I and bring a comeback to our lives where it seems like all things are lost and all things are hopeless. How many folks know that God will show up? How many folks also realize that God's never early, but God's also never late? God may show up at the midnight hour, but the good news is God will show up. God is faithful, God is true, God is just. And God's going to give us, I believe, some things this morning from His Word that shows how God is a God of comebacks for you and I today. The question we must ask ourselves now this morning is, when I go through a defeat or a setback in my life, which one will I do of these two things? Will I go into my prayer closet? Will I pray like crazy and then believe God to stay in that place till a breakthrough comes to my life? Or do I kind of lay back down in the valley of dry bones and ask the Holy Spirit to show up on me by osmosis and bring to me His comfort, His rest, His grace, as I lie down there just totally numb, saying, please, oh God, help me out. I'm in the valley of dry bones. Well, the answer is either or. Sometimes God says, go to the prayer closet. Sometimes God says, pray your heart out. Call upon my name. Seek me with all your heart. But sometimes God says, rest, be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. I am the God that still breathes over the valley of dry bones and says, these bones, they really can live in your life. Main thing is you need to find out for yourself, which one do you do? But I'm saying above all else, do something. And let the Holy Spirit be God in your life and bring you out of that setback into a place of comeback that God has ordained for your life. Isaac, we find in Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 62, is in a valley of dry bones himself. This man's mother has died. He is still grieving her death. He's going through a time of depression and despair. He has no wife. He's 40 years old. He's on the backside of the desert, it seems like. Now, of course, he does have a palace. He's got an inheritance. He's got all the things and all the stuff and all the opulence the world can give him. But he does not have the main thing. And the main thing is God promised him to be the father of Israel and be the son of Abraham that would bring forth a great generation and have children after him that would carry on the very heritage of Jesus Christ himself as the years go by. And it seems like in Isaac's life, anything but this is happening for him at age 40 and single. And his mom, who helps him find dates, is dead. And it seems like, how do I find this wife in my life? Genesis chapter 24, 62. Let's read this together. And it says, now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehi Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. He lifts up his eyes, he looks, and there he sees the camels were coming. Then it says, Rebekah lifts up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet me, to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This story models to us how we can recover and experience God's breakthrough in our lives when it seems like all things are dry bones all around us. All may seem lost around us. We're going to see this morning here some principles from God's Word, some truths from God's Word, how God really is the God of comebacks in your life. How many folks know this morning that the world can throw us some curveballs? Life can throw us some strange circumstances. Things take place to good people that are totally unexpected. The good news is God is called the hope of glory. God lives inside of us, and God does not have any surprises take place in His kingdom or in your life as well. Nothing catches God unawares. God has already got a way of escape for everything we face in this life that might bring setbacks to our lives. And somehow, some way, we see in Isaac's life also how God shows up and God brings blessings to his life. When you're about to come back also, you're going to find yourself looking defeated. Because again, setbacks, disappointments will put sometimes a depressed, discouraged image on our very face, like Isaac himself surely had in this time, in this season. Notice there again back in verses 61 through 63, it says here, Rebekah and her maids arose. This says that the breakthrough, the answer to Isaac's prayers are about to be answered, but Isaac has no idea that's going to take place for him. I found that Satan will always fight the strongest right before the breakthrough and the answer to prayer comes in our lives. Amen. Notice the words now that goes on in verse 61 and 62. It says, Rebekah and her maids, they arise. Isaac doesn't realize this happening coming to him. And then these words come out that shows the darkness that Isaac is in after that. It says, Isaac came from the south. We've all heard that term that says, well, things are kind of going south right now in that marriage. That's not a good term, amen? When things are going south, it means things are going bad, things aren't looking good, things are going backwards. And it says, Isaac comes from the south. Then it goes on and says, he went out, going out's not as good as coming in, to meditate in a field. How many of us know in the field all there is some cows, some jackrabbits, no people, no wives, no humans, no comfort, no help. It's a lonely, empty field. He goes out into a field to meditate. And it says he goes out when? He goes out in the darkness of evening. All these prophetic pictures, God is putting all these things together for us to show us that Isaac is downcast, Isaac is lonely, Isaac is depressed, Isaac is going south. There's darkness all around him. There's loneliness all around him. He's in a great big old giant open field. He's trying to show you and I in the year 2013 the soul of Isaac, where his soul is at. I want to say this once again to our young people especially here. Take note of this. The Old Testament is not to be thrown in the trash can. The Old Testament is a testament there that gives us today New Testament truths for our lives. And what God is showing to us time and time again is pictures for your soul in the Old Testament stories of Jonah and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All those stories are there to give you prophetic pictures of where your soul may be at, but how God will show up and bring life and bring deliverance and bring peace and bring healing and bring breakthrough to your soul once again. Amen. Goliath is a picture that was real, but Goliath's also a real thing you might face by bullies and by things of health issues and so forth. These are all types of our soulish wars and battles that God will help us to win in our lives. So it's showing us here the soul of Isaac. It's going south. It's in a place of darkness, a place of loneliness, a place of despair. Then it goes on and says, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and camels were coming. The good news is God will always give you a sign. It may only be a camel, that something good is on the way. That camel may be a verse in the Bible. That camel could be Mike Johnson preaching a message here on a Sunday morning like this. That camel could be a raise or a bonus or some kind of a smile from your boss. God will always send a camel into your life first. The good news is there's a woman on the back of that camel that's going to be your wife. That's going to be the answer to your prayers down the road. God always gives us something to go by to encourage us. Lift up your eyes, he says. Your redemption draws near. The Bible says that. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. In your time of defeat, when there's grief, you're going to find yourself being very, very vulnerable in those times of grief. Because in times of grief and despair, in times of setbacks, our tendency is to get into the flesh and try to find out what will pacify us, what will minister to us in our flesh, and not in our spirits. And I want to encourage you guys that are young people again, that are youth here today, that you may be going through a time and season in your late teens, early 20s, where you find a girlfriend or find a boyfriend. Praise God for that. Amen. But I'm also going to tell you guys that you're going to very likely go through at least one breakup in your life from a girlfriend or from a boyfriend. When those breakups take place, they're not always pleasant and happy occasions. I know myself, I only had probably one main breakup in my life that brought tears to my eyes, maybe two. But I'm telling you guys again that, how many folks know that joy comes in the morning? Amen? Weeping may last for a night, joy comes in the morning. Sometimes Joy's name is Cheryl. Amen? But I'm telling you guys again that when times of depression come, your boyfriend may dump you, your girlfriend may dump you, may lose your job. It's not time to go to 6th Street. It's not time to go hit prescription drugs, not time to hit the bottle, not time to get some kind of a high or a fix by drugs or by alcohol or by tobacco, whatever else. It's not time to get involved in a pity party, feel sorry for yourself and go into a funk of depression for a long time. It's not time to gossip and complain and get angry and spread all kind of rumors about how rotten your boyfriend was anyway, or girlfriend was anyway, amen? It's not time for all those fleshy things to take place here, not to find refuge in those things. It's time to find a sanctuary in the Lord and be pre-positioned already to go to the right place for the right kind of medication for you that brings forth a comfort and deliverance for your soul. Because God is a God of comebacks. Amen. Not Jim Beam, not 6th Street, not a drug, not depression. Those are not answers for comebacks in your life. They'll take you further down the path not further or closer to God at all. Amen. So moving on here. Isaac needed Rebekah, and the wise thing that Isaac did do when he had a need for a wife and a need for an answer to prayer, the Bible says he finds himself going to a place that was called Lehi Roi. Lehi Roi. Now, God gives us all these names in the Old Testament. They're very, very hard to pronounce sometimes because they have Hebrew meanings to them that actually explains to us prophetic principles that brings forth deliverance and truths for our lives to encourage us that what God did for Isaac a long time ago, God will also do today for you, because God has got a Lehi Roi for you also in your life. We're going to see what Lehi Roi actually means, because that word in the Hebrew language actually means the well of the living one who sees me. The well of the living one who sees me. Now, why do you think Isaac, of all places, goes to a place called the well of Lehi Roi? Where's this well found out in the Bible, first of all? It's found in Genesis chapter 16. 57 years earlier, before Isaac came to this place himself, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, mother of Isaac, Sarah had a handmaiden whose name was Hagar. We all know that Hagar was given to Abraham because Sarah was barren, could not have children. So Sarah said, well, take my handmaiden, take my maidservant, Hagar, go into her, have babies by her. She'll fulfill the promise that God gave you from it for many generations and promises for descendants and so forth and so on. But the problem was, Sarah, when Hagar became pregnant, Hagar began to mock and kind of scoff and kind of get kind of bold and kind of cocky towards Sarah in some ways. And Sarah didn't like it very much. Sarah had a fight with Hagar and kicked her out of the house and said, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the behind as you kind of go out that way. You're out of here. You're gone. So Sarah kicks her out. Well, where does Hagar go to? Let's read Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Genesis 16, 13 verifies and shows to us where this well comes from. And it says, then she called the name, Hagar did, the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Hagar called him, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. Now, it goes on and says this very, very important word next of all. Notice this next word, observe. Take note. Perk up your ears. Look at this. Observe. It is between Kadesh and Bered. This place called Lehi Roi, that means the God who's here, the God who lives, the God who sees, it is found between Kadesh and a place called Bered. Now, of course, I looked these two words up in the Hebrew language, what these two towns actually mean, because the place where God sees, the place where God brings answers, the place where God brings comfort is found between Kadesh and Bered. The word Kadesh actually means sanctuary, place of refuge. The name Bered actually means hail, like in hailstorm, being beaten down. God is telling you and I the place between the sanctuary for your answer, the place of refuge and rest and comfort, and the place of the hailstorm, because hailstorms throughout the Bible stand for being what? Being beaten down, having valuable things ruined, having crops wiped out, having cars dented, having our roofs blown up. All the things we hold valuable in life, hail always stands for something valuable or of destiny or the future being beaten down in your life. Hagar was beaten down by her own master, whose name was Sarah. The hailstorm, spiritual hailstorm, came on Hagar's life. And she finds herself between Bered, the hailstorm, and then between a place called Kadesh, the sanctuary, in a place called the place where God sees, and the place where God brings comfort, and the place where God answers prayer. It reminds me of Lot's wife. The Bible says that Lot and his wife left a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said, don't look back as I send and hail down upon them fiery burning sulfur and destroy the two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says Lot's wife couldn't help herself. She still looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah, and she saw the hailing down of sulfur and ash and fire that burned the cities. And the Bible says she was destroyed as God turned her into a pillar of salt, a pillar of salt. We also see the same story similar to this with Moses. The Bible said Moses saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew slave, and because he was called by God to bring deliverance to Israel, he says he looked this way and looked that way, And then he killed the Egyptian and took his life. And from that, he spent 40 years in the wilderness, getting character development taking place in his own life. And what God is saying to you and I is that the place of your seeing God, the place of your answer for God, is between the sanctuary Kadesh and between the hailstorm. And God is saying to you and I also, when setbacks take place in your life and comebacks need to come, do not look back to the hailstorm. Don't go back to the place where you found the curse happened that brought the setback in your life. Don't rehearse that pain. Don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. But give it to God and say, Father God, you take this thing from me because you are the God of comebacks in my life. Amen. That person who caused you pain by their gossip, by their slander, that job you lost, that health issues you got inside your own body, don't take and examine those x-rays and see those vessels and see those cells being destroyed by cancer or by some disease. Don't meditate upon the hailstorm. Meditate upon the sanctuary. See yourself going to Kadesh, the place of God's deliverance, the place of God's refuge, the place of God's answer, because God is a God of comebacks for your life. Amen. You must get your eyes off the hailstorm and the beaten down crops and the dented up car left behind by the hailstorm. You must get your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith and see what God sees for your future, because God's got a future for you that's a good future. Amen. I believe that myself, and I pray to God you believe it also yourselves in this place this morning. So here Isaac is setting up camp in the same place. A little Egyptian woman named Hagar sets up her camp 57 years earlier. And the question is, why did Isaac not choose one of the altars or monuments that his own father set up in spiritual breakthroughs in his life? He didn't use Abraham's altars, Abraham's monuments. He chose Hagar's place where she went to. And why is that? I believe it's because he said, I can relate to Hagar because she was beaten down. All things were stripped from her in life. She had no hope. She was in despair. She had no plans for the future. Now it was all being wiped out by this act of her own master called Sarah. I'm going to go to the place that she went to when she was beaten down. She needed to come back in her life. I'm going to go to the place that she went to and see what she found out, because I need to see God for myself. Lehi Roy, one who sees God, the God that lives, the God that sees, the God that answers prayer. Isaac is feeling all held on himself. He's feeling beaten down. He's feeling stripped. He's feeling lonely. He's feeling despair. He's full of darkness, and he's full of no hope for the future. And praise God, he makes the right decision. He doesn't sit there and go back to his own hometown and stare at his own lack. He stares at a place that's called Lehi Roy, the place where God sees and God answers. I want you to maybe write some things down this morning here, some take-home points as well for this message. When God orders a comeback for you and I, as God will order that comeback, amen, God will order a comeback for you in your life. I want to promise you that right now. God will order a comeback in your life. When you face setbacks and defeats in your life, there's three things I believe we need to write down this morning, try to memorize these things, put these things into practice in our lives also, even this morning. Number one, when setbacks take place, have the proper position inside your own heart. Have the proper position for the comeback. That means be strategic about the things that you actually put, what truths you put in front of your mind and your heart and your eyes. Do those things on purpose that are truths that actually are there by God, not by your flesh and not by your circumstances and not by the darkness around you. Put things of truth in front of your face. See what God's word says about your situation, about your setback, about your defeat. And see what God says and agree with what God says. Speak what God says. Act on what God says. Bring yourself into divine position that God may start giving you more and more answers, more faith, more strength, more grace on this side of your comeback, as comeback's coming to your life. Number two, second thing is, have the proper strategy also in place for your life. Isaac's reasoning is that if God saw beaten down Hagar and brought her a comeback into her life, surely I, as a son of promise for God's kingdom, could have the same kind of comeback Hagar herself had 57 years ago. And I'm saying to yourself, when setbacks take place in your life, try to find somebody or think of someone yourself who had a similar setback in their lives. Watch what they did righteously, hopefully, and say, what can I learn from their setback, their defeat, that I may apply now to my situation there and maybe duplicate some things they did to bring comeback in their lives also once again. Amen? He was a child of promise. When I've been beaten down myself in life, I've got to ask myself in advance, where do I go, Pastor Mike Johnson, where do I go for sanctuary when I feel beaten down, when I feel defeated, when I feel there's setbacks happening in my life? I myself have found that if I go to my own bedroom or go to my own car someplace or go in the woods someplace, that's a sanctuary for me, a place of comfort, a place where I know that God sees and I can sense God's presence in a special way. For you guys, it might be a church altar. It might be the woods, walking around the woods someplace. It might be a cabin in Colorado. It might be Hawaii. It might be just your own bedroom, your own bed. It might be a place inside your house. It might be your own living room by yourself. What I'm saying to you guys is, find a place of sanctuary when you find yourself feeling beaten down in life. You can go to this not a sinful place, not a carnal place that won't feed your carnal man, but will feed your spirit man and say, I know that God sees me in this place. Now, I realize the Spirit of God lives inside of all of us. We're called the temple of God's Spirit. Amen. I understand that. But I also understand that God takes people and humans that are Christians and puts them in certain places as altars are going to be there. They can sense that I'm going to have God seeing me, and I can start seeing God also in this place. You know, God touched me mightily in the prayer room at Christ Relations Chapel. I can go there to this day, and I just sense God's presence in that place that I was at decades ago. I'm saying find a sanctuary you can go to yourself in times of trouble, that you can run to God, go to God, call upon the Lord, and say, Father God, I know you see me in my situation here because you are the God of comebacks. You have a comeback in store for me in my life. Amen? Last of all, number three, have the proper meditation take place also in your mind and in your heart. Part of the proper strategy for God to bring back a comeback to us is a thing called proper meditation. What do I mean by this? We all know in the book of John tells a very familiar verse that says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all know that verse. But you realize the word know, you shall know the truth, that word know actually means intimacy, relationship, depth, and revelation. It means you shall take and see what God says and sees the way God says it and the way that God actually sees it, because you're so close to God that God reveals to you that truth, not by logos, the written word of God, but by the rhema, revealed word of God. You shall know the truth intimately in every detail. God reveals that truth to you. It becomes part of your DNA spiritually. You can now stand and walk on that truth. You know, Martin Luther said he had a truth there revealed to him called the just shall live by faith. And through that truth that he began to know now intimately, we saw millions come to Christ as Lord and Savior in the years after his own life and death upon the earth. What God is saying to you and I is this word know does not mean just know scriptures in your head. It means know them in your spirit man. Know them intimately. Have them revealed to you by the Spirit of Almighty God. You shall know the truth. Like Adam knew Eve and she conceived and gave birth to a child. You shall know the truth. And then that truth you know intimately, revealed to you, illuminated by God's Spirit, that truth then shall set you free. Many Christians can quote scriptures about healing, about miracles, about deliverance, about faith, about finances, and they only know those in their brain and their minds. You got to know the truth in your spirit, and then that truth will set you free. There is no promise that Christ has not paid for us already that cannot be yours today. But you got to know that Christ did that by revelation, not just by the knowledge of your own brain and your own intellect. Amen? So I'm praying to God today, we're going to see this truth today about God being the God of comebacks. Know the truth that sets you free. When Isaac went out to meditate, he did not go into a passive Buddhist meditation and start saying, He started taking and getting his mind and his mouth filled with God's word. He started saying what he felt God was saying to him. He started singing, I'm sure, praise songs even to God. He started prophesying what God was speaking to him about his wife and about his future. Meditation is an act of not passivity, but spiritual activity, where God is actually speaking through us, speaking to us, praising God, worshiping God, prophesying to God. And through that activity, God brings forth breakthroughs in due time on the other side. We as a body of Christ in Austin, Texas, we can't rely upon our grandparents' revelation of how God can set this city on fire, but Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord. Amen. We got to get the same mind that Christ has for us that our ancestors had years ago, that the lost really can be saved. I believe these folks in this wall up here are being prayed for. God is doing a work in every one of their lives in Jesus' name. We got to see that. We got to speak that, confess that, believe that, and not go by sight, but go by faith and perseverance. I will not give up until I see God acting in their behalf and I see things break loose in their lives. And I'm not trying to say again that God brings sickness to people to draw them to Christ, but Iris is the second person I've already heard say that when they started praying for people that were lost, they got sick or something took place. And then God used their calamity of a car crash or used their sickness to actually draw them to God. Cheryl's friend she's praying for lost her job, and God's using that to draw her back to the Lord right now. Now, I'm not saying that God brings bad things. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. But Satan is even also himself, even he is God's servant to be used for things that will help bless God's kingdom when prayer is added to what Satan does upon the earth. The 911 disaster was not God's idea. God did not do that, but God used that to bring many people back into church and back to Christ. Okay, so God will use even things Satan does for his own benefit, his own good, when prayer is matched with the bad thing in people's lives. Okay, so understand that also this morning. Biblical meditation includes speaking, bringing up memories of what God has done for you in times past, what God's done for other folks around you in the same situations you're going through yourself. Meditation may include, again, praise and worship. It may include prophesying, speaking in tongues, in new languages. All these things are part of meditation. And that word again, meditate, means a cow who has several stomachs chews the grass and puts the grass in one of the stomachs, but brings it back up again out of one of the stomachs here, chews the grass again and meditates upon what he swallowed or she swallowed a few days ago. Meditation is what's in you already coming to the surface, being chewed on, being thought about, being spoken on, being acted on with God's grace and God's help. Finally, last of all, God caused these next phrases here. God caused Isaac to lift up his eyes. He was in a dark place, in a dark field, by himself. He'd gone south. He was all alone. But I believe God caused Isaac and said, now lift up your eyes and look. There's a camel coming in the distance. And the Bible says he saw the camels. He then saw a woman on the back of the camel. He saw her dismount. That's good news, because dismount means I may like what I see. That guy is pretty hot over there. And so as I'm on this camel getting closer to him, I'm going to dismount this thing and get a better look myself. Then she puts a veil over her face, trying to say, I guess, like me for my, not just my looks, but also who I am as a person, I guess, but it's probably also the culture of that era. Puts a veil on her face and then brought into the tent of the mother of Isaac and becomes his wife and lives happily ever after. The good news is God's got a camel for each one of us today, that something is riding on as an answer to your prayer. And that camel, it may be a scripture, it may be a sign, it may be a confirmation, it may be something that's happening around you in activities at your workplace, your neighborhood, your own relationships. That camel's got your answer on its back. The main thing is today is don't look back at the hailstorm. Quit trying to curse those things that beat down your life in times past. Forget the hailstorm. Look to the sanctuary. Look to Kadesh. Because this place called Lehi Roy, the place where God sees, which also means the place where God brings comfort, is also the place where God says, look to my sanctuary, not to the past beating downs. And through that, I'm going to give answers and solutions, power and strength and might to bring you out of your hailstorm into your sanctuary, says the Lord. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now to help us out. Just going to play something, if you would, please. I believe this morning that the Spirit of God's given us a mandate, an anointing, given us also even a word that's going to help us realize, again, no matter what gets beaten down in our lives. You may lose your jobs. You may lose your health for a season. You may lose relationship there with your own sons and daughters for a while. God says all those things you may see beaten down by the hail of life, I have made a place of sanctuary for you on the other side. If you get your eyes off what the hail did and on what I have done myself through my Son, by my word and by my Spirit, I am the God of comebacks who takes those crops that were beaten down by hail and brings forth a new sprouting, a new planting, new life, new growth, and your harvest shall be intact, says the Lord, in your lives as well. For those who believe, I am the God of comebacks in their lives. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, just for prayer and just to think, let the Spirit of God move inside of our lives and hearts. We are here today because God's Spirit has sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, upon this earth for lost and dying humanity. I'm going to pray this morning, first of all, for anybody that may be in this room today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or whose heart may not be right with God today, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I want you to take, and if you would, just be honest with God, be honest with yourself, be honest with myself also today, and say, Pastor Mike, Father God, I need to know that my heart, before I leave this place, is right with you. I am one who knows I cannot save myself. I cannot deliver myself. I can't make myself holy or righteous by my good works, by my own actions. I need your workings inside of my life. What I hear God saying is that He must be first in our lives above everything else. Not religion, not a church, not our attendance, not our actions, not the things we do to help others around us. Those things are all peripheral things that God puts in our path to do because we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The main question this morning is, do you love God? Do you know God? And are you right with God today in your heart, in your life? Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning a little while longer. Would you be honest this morning and say, yes, Pastor Mike, I want to receive prayer today that Jesus Christ be Lord of my life, that my heart is made right with Him before I leave this place today. I want to know that. Would you please raise your hand real high if you're like that this morning? Anyone at all? Anybody else? I'm going to raise your hands. I want to make sure my heart is right with God today. Anyone else at all? Just be honest. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask Chad right here on the front row to go back to this man back here in the black shirt. He's got his hand raised up. Just go ahead and sit next to him, if you would, please. You can feel free to pray with him, talk with him. He wants to get his heart right with God this morning. We're going to agree that does take place, does happen for him. The rest of us that are here today, I want to pray now that the God of comebacks, the God of Lehi Roy, that well, that place, that spring that's already there among us, that God will be seen in our situations, our setbacks, those things have been beaten down in our lives, the things the hell has hit and broke down and demolished, that seems like our future, that seems like our destiny, that seems like the promises God gave to us have now been beaten down and will never come to pass. I want those things prayed about today. We get our eyes off the hail, what the hail has done. Get our eyes upon Kadesh, the place of sanctuary. But right now, today is a place called Lehi Roy, the place where God sees. The living God who sees. The God who comforts. The God who brings forth His grace and His peace in times of trouble. While your heads are bowed again, your eyes are closed right now. How many folks in this sanctuary today would say, I'm in a place where I know that the hail of life has beaten something down in my life, and I want to see a comeback take place? Would you raise your hand right now if you're like that? Anybody in this sanctuary? Be honest. Anybody? It's right across the sanctuary. Praise God. We have 15, 20 folks whose hands have gone up here. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Let's all stand up. I'm going to pray together here before we dismiss this service.